This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Randy Prangy, thank you so much. And we are live in the Chili Dome here at Irish Days, and happy to be joined by Brad Whalen and Sean Webb. And fellas, I missed this day more than about anything last year. It's so great to be back, and I can only imagine the joy and excitement that you two fellas are feeling this morning.
And the heat.
Well, I commented this morning, thank goodness it got hot, because it wouldn't be the Chili Dome if it was like mild.
No.
It needs to be 95 and sticky for this to really have the full effect.
Well, and to be a true Irish Days, we're going to need just a smidge of rain about parade time, too.
Yeah.
It'll come. Don't worry.
A little bit of lightning.
Yeah.
Just as they kick off the parade.
Guys, before we start talking about the Chili Dome and Irish Days festivities this year, let's look a little bit to last year and the one that wasn't. And Brad, you were saying you guys went virtual last year. It sounded pretty slick.
Sean pulled it off beautifully. Yeah, we set up a virtual event, and we ended up with people zooming in from Augsburg, Germany, I believe Kentucky, Indiana, Barbados.
Yeah.
It was an international, ended up being an international event, and we're going to have our, I think our German friends are going to zoom in again today.
I mean, that is so cool, and we were all introduced to Zoom over this last year, and what a great resource to have. And obviously it was terrible to not be able to meet in person last year. Talk about just the community aspect of this, because Terry Tilt really introduced me to Irish Days, and he always talked about, as a kid from the Panhandle, this is the official start to summer.
Oh man, so we talk about this all year. We talk about the six-month anniversary of when we get to meet together again. So it's really funny because Christmas is it, right?
Yeah.
You know, as we're celebrating with family and we're talking about Christmas, and we're like, ooh, 6 months and we get to have Irish Days. So it is. It's a big community thing. It's not just the Farmersville community. It's the surrounding community and all the people that we – it's all the people that we have that get really excited about being together one time a year. The Chili Cook-Off is proof of that. The virtual Chili Cook-Off with people from three countries, three different states, you know, all of these folks that just couldn't wait to get together, even if it was on, you know, really bad video and audio experience, you know. I mean, because it is, it's just the way it works. But, yeah, all those people excited just to do one event. And, shoot, we've got, what, 10 different events up here over a 2 or 3 day period. So, yeah.
You can tell everybody's wired. Those last couple nights, it's been so much fun around here.
And the virtual cook-off last year had quite a few participants, didn't it?
Yeah, I think we ended up with 27.
Yeah, 26, 27, 28 cooks.
Yeah, hard to believe.
And how many are we going to have this year?
We'll see.
We'll see. I like it.
We've got, I think we'll probably have about the same. But we've got, I just had, was taking fielding calls here a minute ago, people saying we're going to come up.
So you get people that wake up today and think, wait a minute, I need to get to the cook-off.
Yeah, literally 10 minutes ago, I just said, hey, are we still got room? I said, yep.
It's funny, the buzz starts on Thursday.
Yeah.
When you look through the book, you're talking about events, you get people in the bear tent, a couple of drinks, a couple of cocktails in, and you're like, ooh, chili cook-off, that sounds like fun. Which, by the way, makes no sense to me. I mean,
perfect sense to me. I don't know.
I love it. This is my favorite event. I don't think that's a secret. This one's near and dear to me. But yeah, chili cook-off.
Yeah, there were
middle
couple,
of June.
A couple people woke up this morning and went, oh, I need to go buy meat and beans.
Yeah. Absolutely. But see, I think that's the beauty of the chili cook-off, is the fact that it is in the middle of June when it's 100 degrees. You know, if you did this in December, it wouldn't have the same feel at all.
And it's an Irish festival. So chili totally makes sense,
what
right?
What you think of it. Yeah.
What a combo. What a combo. Talk to me. We've talked about this before, but talk to me about the origins of the chili cook-off, because it's been around so long now that it's just part of Irish Days.
Yes.
You don't even think about how it got started.
So this year's really special.
Yeah.
This year's very special. This year I resigned as the chili chairman and passed the torch to Brad Whalen. So just the same way it was passed to me from Jim Whalen and Dave Heaton. And there's a ceremony. I won't bore you with the details, but it involves some beer. You know.
some.
But, you know, the origin of this goes back 35 years. So 35 years ago at the Ethnic Festival, Don Webb asked Jim and Dave Heaton, Jim Whalen and Dave Heaton, if they would put together a chili cook-off. Can you pull that off? And they're like, well, sure we can. Yeah, we can do that. So what started as a one-time thing ends up 35 years later and right back in the hands of the family that started it right off.
And I've still got every book from the original one. We've got all the entries and winners and everything. We still have the whole history of this thing. It still exists.
That was great foresight to keep all of that stuff, because in not too long, it's going to be the 50th anniversary, and that type of stuff is going to be really cool to go back and look at.
Absolutely. We'll hand it off to the next generation, and it'll just hopefully continue to live.
Was there any way that they thought this thing would be going 35 years later?
Ooh. Oh, I don't think they had that much foresight.
Like, let's just make it through the first
one. Let's just get the one down.
Make it through the weekend. That's exactly right.
And interesting enough, we've got Jim Whalen in tent today, and Dave Heaton. He's coming down from Chicago just to be a part of the handoff back to Brad. So we've got the start, we've got the finish all here today. So we're soup to nuts in the chili cook-off tent today.
Now, who will be the judges for this year's competition?
We've got 10 of them. Just a mix of people. Some of them have done it before, and some I think are new to it. But you just get a mix of people. And I know, Sean, they like to mix it up every year. We like to get a different group of people, and you don't want the same people.
So what's the best way for one to cleanse the palate when you're a judge for the chili cook-off?
I think the margaritas, probably.
That's a good place to start. Yes.
I would say. Yeah, I think there's some standard crackers and soda type things back there, but from what I've noticed, Busch Light seems to be the crossover.
Busch Light, okay. Yeah. Hey, that got me through college, so I can relate to that. I can relate to that. We're talking to Brad Whalen and Sean Webb here in the Chili Dome for the Irish Day celebration. What is this, 100 and?
This is 110.
110.
So technically this is 113. But we missed 3 years.
Yeah.
2 years for World War II and 1 year for COVID.
You know, that's going to be the interesting thing about this whole COVID deal as the years pass. It is going to be like World War II in that sense. Like, well, yeah, every year since World War II or every year since COVID. Like, it's going to be odd as we get a few years removed from this to think back like, wait a minute, no, not 4 years ago. It was five times ago, or however it's going to work. It's just going to be odd.
Yeah, there'll be an asterisk next to everything.
An asterisk,
like,
that's exactly.
Like Roger Maris's.
Now, will you have to put it? Do you put an asterisk next to last year's virtual winner?
No. Actually, we were the only event in Irish Days that carried on last year. Didn't miss.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So and my cousin won it, and first thing I said was, well, you got to defend the title.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're coming. They'll be here soon.
That is very cool. And you mentioned you thought you were going to have some virtual entries again this year. You mentioned from Germany,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to hook up with them here soon.
Well, it's funny, Brad, you said they're 7 hours ahead, so they've got a jump start.
Yeah, and Augsburg is Bavaria. and they visited here in fall of 2019. They love Farmersville. They will be several beers in by the time we get hooked up with them.
What time will the cooking actually start? We're seeing some of the contestants are starting to work their way into the dome now.
Yeah, we're going to set up now at 11 o'clock we fire, and then 3 hours of cooking. And at 2 o'clock we go to the judges.
So. Now, for just you two personally, Sean Webb, your perfect ideal chili skews towards what?
This is an easy one for me. You can eat it with a fork, and it belongs on a hot dog.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
That would be a unique chili preference, I would say.
Yeah.
Fork and hot dog.
That's me. Midwestern chili man chili. I like it thick. I want to be able to eat it with a fork. Like, that's me. Yeah. And believe me, I've tasted a lot of chilies over the years up here. So, yeah, I know what I like now.
I will say, I don't know about the fork. That might be a little too far for me, but a soupy chili is not super enjoyable to me.
No, you want, and I like a lot of cumin. A little bit of heat and a lot of cumin.
All right. Now, last year, what style would that have fallen into last year's winter, do you think?
Ooh,
obviously, you guys didn't get to taste it if it was in Germany.
Noel, not the German one.
Oh,
I'll get to taste that one. We did get to taste the winter on the farm, and it was just a good solid bowl, just a great variety of flavors that all melded together, and there wasn't too much cumin, wasn't too much heat. It was just a really good.
They had a good chili powder, good chili powder, chili taste to it. It wasn't overly sweet. It wasn't soupy, but I really enjoyed the chili powder they had in that one.
Yeah,
and now I'm just thinking of Sean showing up with a fork to eat his chili.
And a hot dog.
And a hot dog. Yeah. Pulls the hot dog out of his pocket, the fork out of his left pocket. Here we go. I'm ready. Okay, guys, anything else you want folks to know here about the Chili Dome or Irish Days as a whole?
I do. So all of our proceeds go to the Panhandle Unit District School Special Education Program. this has been the donation of choice. It's been the charity of choice for 35 years. Panhandle has some of the most amazing staff over there. The special education program has been through several great teachers, great educators. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing to donate to. We encourage everybody to come out, participate, have some chili, join the crowd, just enjoy the day.
Yeah.
Raise a little bit of money for some really great folks.
And that's why we're pushing the margaritas a little bit. Come up, and there's a nice donation jar, and that money all goes to the kids.
It's a good day for a margarita.
Yeah, it
although maybe
is.
Any day is a good day for a margarita. Brad Whalen, Sean Webb, thank you so much for stopping by. I know you guys are extremely busy here. We look forward to the aromas and the smells of the chili cook-off here working their way through the Chili Dome. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, you.
Tim. That
appreciate
is Sean Webb and Brad Whalen with the Irish Days and live here in the Chili Dome on Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break. Lincolnwood basketball coach Matt Milberg is in the wing, standing by. Looks like he's fresh off the Appalachian Trail. We'll catch up with Matt Milberg when Sports Saturday continues.
Sports Saturday continues. Once again, back to the Chili Dome at Irish Days in Farmersville. We join Tim Mies and David Jenkins.
All right, Randall, thank you very much. Hey, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to catch up with Litchfield track coach Dan Newkirk. Because yesterday in the 1A boys track sectional at Gillespie, Litchfield brought home 5 sectional championships. Will Carlisle won pole vault. Cameron Crow won the 400 and the high jump. Cam Corton won the 1600 and the 3200 meter run. So congratulations to all those young men on their sectional championships as they are state bound. And we'll talk with Dan Newkirk about that coming up at 9:30 here on Sports Saturday. We are live inside the Chili Dome and happy to be joined right now by Lincolnwood boys basketball coach Matt Milberg. And Matt, I know this is always a very special day and special week for you.
It's the return of Irish Days, and of course I'm glad to be back sitting next to you here in the Irish Days Chili Dome.
It was weird. It really was weird last year. Looking back, it was probably one of the oddest things about last year, not being in the Chili Dome here in the early part of June.
Absolutely. We talked about this before, and when, you know, with Tito, boy, we miss him. And he brought me on here my first year. Got me introduced to this Saturday, and I've been here. This is my 10th year here at the Chili Dome.
Time flies, right?
It sure does.
And you guys, of course, will have your big fundraising event coming up August 28th.
Absolutely. We got our team golf outing on August 28th at Shoal Creek. We got shotgun start at 8 and at 2 o'clock. So right now the morning's full, and I got a couple spots in the afternoon. So we're looking to get that kicked off here shortly.
And, you know, Lincolnwood, of course, one of the smallest, or is the smallest school in the county. But, man, as far as passion and support of your kids and athletic programs, you guys are at the top of the list.
Yeah, you nailed it. Our community is just coming through for us all the time. We got basically a Lancer Loot Lottery where we're giving away money. I mean, who doesn't want to win money?
I'll take money.
That's the best thing to get. And we were just able to buy, us and the girls program went together, with them being new, and we just bought a shooting machine for the gym, something that we were able to split, and that was bought through team money. We couldn't have done it without them.
And have you gotten used to the fact that you have to be introduced now as boys basketball coach instead of just basketball coach?
Well, not only that, I got to be introduced as Matt Milberg instead of Justin Milberg. So, you know, it's great working. He's been my assistant for a while, and see what he's done with the girls and see how we work together. You know, whenever you play Lincolnwood basketball, you're still going to get the same feeling. You're going to get defense and some shooters, and we hope to continue to make that girls program a big hit at Lincolnwood.
And I know from the boys' perspective, you always take such pride in being able to beat the other county schools, being the small school that you are, and you are now the longest tenured coach in Montgomery County, which seems strange, but that is the way that it is. And David, of course, big news out of Hillsboro this week was that Joe Vanza was removed as boys basketball coach 4 months after the Toppers go undefeated and win the conference title.
Yeah, not something I think a lot of people saw coming.
No.
It'll be interesting to see where they go next. I'm sure it took a lot of people by surprise. Joe, very successful run. Gosh, I don't know how many years he's been coaching. You said he was there 1 year before
11,
you.
Probably 11 or 12 years, yeah.
Yeah, so did a fantastic job. It's going to be weird not seeing him on the sidelines at Hillsboro anymore. Hopefully he's able to find a job elsewhere because he's a heck of a coach.
Well, in the last, 2 years, Steve Kimber retired.
Yeah.
Drew Logan out at Litchfield. Mm-hmm. Now Joe Vanzo out at Hillsborough. And obviously, Matt, you coached against all three of those men. All excellent basketball coaches in their own rights. Great people as well. We know, we talked about Kimbrough because we knew that one was coming. But what was it about Drew Logan that made him such a good coach and so fun to compete against?
I think his best characteristic was his laid-back mentality, too. He never got too high. He never got too low. He had some really good teams there. We battled in the Carlinville Holiday Tournament championships and regular season games. And he went through a couple years where they struggled a little bit, and he was always optimistic in everything he did. Always a guy that I could call and talk to about another team and just give me his best thoughts. Good basketball mind for sure.
How hard is it as a coach to have that mindset of not getting too high, not getting too low? Because, man, every game is like a roller coaster.
Yeah, especially last year. all the different things last year that we had to go through, end up 6-6 at 500 and, had a two-week hiatus where we didn't play. I thought we were playing our best basketball, losing in overtime in North Mac at North Mac last year, and then the next day we're not playing. And then coming back, and we played 7 games in 7 days, played on a Sunday for the Waverly Holiday Tournament, and then played the following Saturday in the Waverly Holiday Tournament. So that year last year really grew me as a coach, being able to handle adversity with the boys as well, and just making sure you never did get too high or too low.
Well, and that's what makes what happened to Joe Vanzo at Hillsborough such a shame, because I think everything you just said applies to Hillsborough and Coach Vanzo. Toppers go undefeated last year, and Hillsborough decides, we want to go a different direction, whatever. But from your perspective, when you were coaching against Joe Vanzo, just talk about that and what that was like.
Well, I know for sure, too. I mean, Joe, starting out, we had to deal with Dylan Miller in our first couple of years, and that was obviously the scouting report. And as you know, at Lincolnwood, we tend to produce some shooters, but to produce 6'7" kids that are able to dunk is extremely rare. So we had to put all our resources in against Hillsborough early on. And, they playing at Hillsborough just has a different feel, too. Mm-hmm. It's early in the season. We come off Thanksgiving tournaments. And Joe's always going to be able to produce a defensive quality team, too. They're pretty physical, as you know, with the football team being there. Helps them be physical, and I'm going to miss him on the sidelines too.
Well, I thought Joe really did a fantastic job in one of Dylan Miller's final seasons. I can't remember if it was junior or senior season. Dylan actually missed quite a bit of time with an injury, and it gave Joe the opportunity to develop some of the other kids who you maybe on a normal situation were looking over, and he did a really good job of developing the team around him.
Yeah, whenever you get injuries, those other guys have to step up. And again, they had usually a deep bench. They could come in about 7, 8, 9 guys. And, it's going to be a different feel, I guess you'd say, coming up early December.
There's not really a day that goes by that I don't think of something that Terry Tote said over the years. And after this Hillsborough thing went down like it did, I kept hearing Terry's voice in my head talking about athletics is just an extension of the classroom. Mm-hmm. And what are you really trying to accomplish in small school public athletics? What is the goal? And the goal, obviously, you want to win. That if you put in the time, the effort, the energy, you want to win. But Matt, you know this. At the end of the day, if you're not making the kids under your leadership better people, you're failing.
Absolutely. And, early on in my years and since, you were worried about winning a little bit more than you are now. And that shows for sure in how you run your programs. But I think the biggest thing lately has been our opportunity to, I guess you would say, graduate kids and continue the tradition of what you expect with Lincolnwood basketball, as far as being great people in the community, having opportunities to just be, I, great student athletes, you know, and we've always had that there, and I continue to hopefully continue to grow with that.
Well, Matt, the longer you've done this now, you get an opportunity when you come to events like this. I'm sure you run in to former players, you know, guys you had in the early stages, and I'm sure those are just really fun, neat conversations to have.
Yeah, some of them are getting married this summer. I'm starting to get to that point now. Some of them may be having babies soon, and that's basically whenever I start to realize I'm getting older. And, you know, whenever you have a good core coaching staff, I mixed in a couple different guys through my 10 years. But just to talk basketball, you know, being here talking basketball with you just for a little bit, you know, it kind of gives you goosebumps. And my old varsity coach is back there at the chili cook-off right now. And, again, one of my old assistants and the girls' basketball coach sitting next to me now. It's just talking basketball, and I really enjoy it.
And Justin Milberg has joined us here. And, Justin, it was a trying year, obviously, for basketball across the board. But, man, I saw growth in your team from the start of the year to the end of the year.
Oh, absolutely. It was definitely a trying year with the COVID and everything. But the most important thing is the kids got to get back out there and get playing and get back to somewhat normal routine. I mean, it definitely wasn't normal, but more normal for them. And, you know, I think with it being shortened and playing a lot of games for us, that was probably a good thing for us, because the only way we're going to get better is to see competition. I mean, yeah, you're going to get better in practice and you're going to do things, but when you play the caliber schedule that we play, which is a lot bigger teams for our school, and those kids get to see what it's like going day-to-day, head-to-head against better players, they realize what level they need to be at, and it really helped our kids step up amongst each other, and they grew. And I had a lot of kids really come along and really start loving the game of basketball, which is huge for our program. We've got the most kids out, which, you know, it's short term, but we're up to 23 kids out.
That's great.
So,
and, you know, kind of along the same lines we were just talking about with Matt a moment ago about what are you actually trying to get out of a high school basketball season, or really any high school sports season, especially when you're in a small town. And I know that your philosophy is about the same as Matt's.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you're coaching, there's a lot more than just basketball. Yeah. I mean, it's life lessons, how things work in life. Hard work pays off in the end. And, you know, going through a year like we went through and all the hoops we had to get through to play and the work that was put in and then to see the end result. I mean, for us, we got our first win.
Yeah.
So, you know, for those kids, that moment, I mean, I've still got the film on my phone of when we got the first win. And watching their faces and light up and the smile, I mean, that's worth its weight in gold right there, you know.
And that's something those girls, they'll remember that for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a good moment. We ended up using our girls used our boys' locker room just for COVID purposes, and they were in there that time. And I came in there and dumped some water all over everybody. And it's something that I'll always remember, too. So I think it was a great opportunity for these girls to get that this year.
And that is the beauty of high school athletics right there, kind of in the nutshell. The moment that they realize, okay, this is what we've been working for, this is what we've been striving for, but the camaraderie that they feel with each other, trusting the person next to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. They've came a long way with that. They came a long way with, I mean, everything. I mean, most of those kids, except for the year we had before, never touched a basketball. So for them to believe in what we were doing and believe in our system and believe what was going to work out for them for the effort and the energy they were putting in and for them to see that result, oh, wow. I mean, it lights me up thinking about it, you know, and to see their faces is just, that's what makes it, you know, being a coach, that's what makes it worth it, watching them celebrate their hard work that they put off.
And throughout this whole COVID season, the kids, they adjusted to everything a lot better than us old crusty adults did.
There's no doubt about that.
And as you guys look back on the season, obviously you're glad that that's over and behind us, but what's your summer looking like now? Does it feel like a normal summer, or are there still some of the restrictions at play here?
Well, we started this week and had two open gym practices, and then we ended up playing two games on Thursday night, and you know, it felt a little bit better. Had some people in the stands. And for sure, as far as the heat in the gym, she was hot, I'll tell you, on Thursday. And, you know, I think the biggest thing we came away with on Thursday is getting back to some normalcy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the masks and the things that we had to deal with early on last year maybe hindered us a little bit. But hopefully we get back on track here this summer.
And I don't know this. Obviously, you do. Do you still have to wear the mask when you're playing?
Yes.
You do. Really?
Right now, when you're playing opponents for the summer, you're supposed to have a mask on, correct?
Oh, boy. So hopefully, by the time we get to the season, that will be behind us. I never understood that one. I'm not going to have you guys comment on it. But that made no sense to me whatsoever. And the lack of the jump ball, I'll let you comment on that. I don't know what that was supposed to do exactly. The jump ball is dangerous, but lining up for free throws is fine. I didn't understand the connection there.
How about in Nokomis, whenever we did the Nokomis Lincolnwood game and had overtime and the quarter rolled all the way across the floor?
It sure did.
We had to chase it to see whether it was a heads or tails to see whose ball was going to be at Nokomis. I mean, how can you tell that story 20, 30 years from now and people believe you?
Yeah, they won't. They won't. You just had to be there. I remember watching that coin roll across the floor thinking, is it going to make it all the way? Yep.
Sure did.
Clanked off the bleachers.
You know, and the key of that is one possession in a basketball game could be the difference in those kids getting a win and a loss. And when you're playing, in Matt's case, you know, Nokomis, which is one of our rivals, you know, good game, games you want to win. I mean, that's tough whenever you're hoping on a coin flip. Who's going to get the ball starting out whenever you've got a play set up on a jump ball?
Yeah, really?
Well, Thursday night we played North Mac, and we did a sudden death overtime, and they got the ball first, come down, pinch it into post and score, and that was game over.
There you go.
So,
like the old NFL rules. never got to touch the ball.
We never even touched the ball.
Guys, before we let you go here, tell me again details about the upcoming event, August 28th. How do people get tickets and get involved?
Yeah, all the athletes have the tickets for the money. They're going around, you know, Irish Days here and throughout the summer trying to sell those tickets. And then August 28th is the golf outing itself. Always looking for some people to sponsor and donate. And I know I saw a post yesterday looking for Grace shirts to make a quilt. So we still got Grace in our thoughts there and Kyle and his family. So that's the biggest thing there is just getting ready for the 28th.
All right.
Huge asset for our community and our program, that's for sure. Hope it works out well, and I'm sure it will. And we'll get a lot of those tickets sold. We do pretty well every year. You guys help us out tremendously. Everybody in the community has helped us out tremendously, and it's really, really appreciated.
It'll be here before we know it, August 28th at Shoal Creek. Matt Milberg, Justin Milberg, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here today in the Chili Dome. Now, have you guys ever entered the Chili Cook-Off?
I have not.
Why not? Let's go.
I'm too busy working around here.
Oh, come on.
There's people laughing on the radio right
now. Oh, there are not. this is my busy week, so yeah, no.
It's busy week. There you go. Fellas, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
At the Chili Dome at Irish Days. And we'll have Cardinal Baseball for you tonight, 5:20 a.m., 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. So you can tune in for that. Cards and Cubs from Wrigley. And, Randall, do we have Dan Newkirk on the phone with us right now?
Yes, we do.
Oh, excellent. Dan, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Thanks for hanging on there as we were talking to the Milbergs. But what a banner day for Litchfield Track and Field yesterday.
Yeah, it was really a fun day. Boy, it was hot. Not what I would call ideal track run or track weather, especially for the distance runners. But I thought very prepared. We talked about it all week. We hydrated well, and the kids did a great job.
Then 5 sectional champions for Litchfield. That's the most of any school in that sectional. What an outstanding job.
Well, yeah, and it was from our three young men, Will Carlisle, Cam Crow, and Cam Corton, who have been really the strength of our lineup all year. Those three guys have really done a great job of showing us leadership in practice, at meets, and then their performances speak for themselves. So. But yeah, and then the other guys just had everybody had a great day. We had a lot of PRs and a lot of personal bests. When kids were melting on the track, our kids were really, really rising to run well in the last meet of the year.
And Cam Crow's 400 time was the second fastest in the state. Is that correct?
That is correct. a young man ran 50.11, and Cam is second at 50.41. So just literally the snap of your fingers, we're behind the leader in the state. So we're very excited. Cam has, you know, finally we had a race last night. Jack Pierce from Pleasant Plains. Pleasant Plains is a team that's very close to our hearts. Derek DeBar, a former Litchfield athlete, is the head coach there and doing an outstanding job. And Derek and I have talked all year about finally getting Jack and Cam together to run against each other. And so we finally got pushed a little bit, and but really was just the class of the race, and ran a fantastic race.
So Cam Crow wins the 400 and the high jump. Cam Corton wins the 1600 and the 3200. And then Will Carlisle wins the pole vault. And, Dan, the pole vault to me is one of the most unique, interesting events in all of sports. Just talk a little bit about the mindset and mentality you have when you're doing that event.
Well, and it's an event. I'm an old pole vaulter, so it's an event that's very close to my heart, and I take a lot of pride in how well and how safe that our kids vault. But there's a lot of athleticism involved in it. There's a lot of kinesthetic sense and being able to make adjustments in the air and on the fly. Speed and strength are huge components. Myself, when I'm looking at pole vaulters, I like wrestlers. A lot of our good vaulters that we've had over the years have been also Litchfield High School wrestlers. That just, you know, the two sports seem to go well together with making quick adjustments under pressure situations. And Will Carlisle, who is, well, he's not a bad wrestler.
No, he's pretty decent.
Being not too bad, being a defending state champion. And has, when he came to Litchfield as an eighth grader, I jumped him right into the pole vault. He placed in middle school, I believe third or fourth, if I remember right, in the pole vault in IESA. But things were, you know, we had control issues and things, and through his freshman, sophomore year, things improved and got better. We lost last season to COVID, and then came back, and in the first couple of practices this year, we really knew he was going to jump high this year, and things just kind of came together for him as an athlete in the pole vault. So it's been a lot of fun to watch him progress and then really come off. Interestingly enough, he was jumping at 13.8 last night and broke his pole. Broke his pole, which is not a common thing that occurs, but not unheard of. We bend these poles, and they are breakable. And he just really got into, and it was his favorite pole, and we broke it. So oftentimes that shakes, especially high school kids, that'll shake them up a little bit. And oftentimes that's the end of their night, or they just can't quite get back in the saddle, so to speak. We try to get them back up in the air as quick as possible, just to kind of to break that mental aspect of it. But being a very mentally tough kid, Will not only got back up on his pole, he made the height on a different pole that we've jumped on very little all season, and actually it almost refocused him, and he ended up making 13.8, and then 14.25, and then had a really two good attempts at 14.7. So really had a good night, and especially after breaking his pole.
Dan, are pole vaulters superstitious like any other athlete?
Oh yeah, and we talk about poles in this world as like they're real people, because they're a part of our event, almost like a baseball player might have a relationship with his bat, or you know, so on and so forth. That they're really we put a lot of one, we need it to perform and to perform at the highest level possible, but also our safety. Our safety is reliant on that pole. So we really talk about it as a living person, a living, breathing being that has energy that we give to it and then returns back to us. So and kids have a tendency to kind of fall in love with poles. His first, you know, I was right there when the pole broke, and when they go, it sounds like a shotgun going off. Everybody around the track looks, everybody knows it happens. And I walked over And the first thing that he said was, I need that pole. I need that pole. That's my best pole. You know, so so I knew he was going to be okay, and luckily landed safely on the mats and jumped right up and kind of took a minute, and we convinced him that this other pole was going to be a great ride for him, and he and I have had a great relationship, you know, in and out of sports, and I think he and I have a tremendous amount of trust for one another, and he bought what I was telling him and jumped right up and jumped on the pole, and we, I guess, fell in love with the new pole. So,
well, then you mentioned that thankfully he landed on the mat. As you were describing that, I was thinking to myself, what in the world happens if the pole breaks and you're like 6 feet in the air?
Well, and that's usually where you are. You're usually in the air, and what breaks the pole is forward momentum.
Okay.
And so that forward momentum usually continues forward. 99% of the time when poles break, you land on the mat, continuing to move forward onto the pits. So we were very fortunate that that was the case, that he landed kind of on his shoulders, not on his back or neck. Gillespie High School has a brand new pole vault pit, a very safe situation, and it was best possible outcome in a bad situation. So everything was great, but it's for a moment everybody kind of takes a breath.
Yep.
And there were a lot of people around watching the pole vault, so it was quite an audience there, and it was, you could have heard a pin drop for about 30 seconds, and then once he got up and was more concerned about his pole, you could kind of hear a chuckle through the crowd, and it was part of it was, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that, but there was this relief that, yeah, this high school athlete was, you know, was okay, and everything was fine, and then as he got up, and they gave him a little extra time to kind of collect himself, It was his jump next, jumped up, made the height, and then there was quite an applause, you know, for not only the athleticism, but, the tremendous amount of courage that Will showed getting right back on a pole and not only doing it, but doing it very, very well. You could tell there was a great appreciation by everybody that was around watching.
Dan, I got to tell you, I'm absolutely shocked that it's a new year and there is a Quarton at a state track meet.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it? unfortunately, this is number four of four. And Camden has just been a breath of fresh air for us. Now, not that we didn't know he was coming. We knew. I've watched him very closely all through middle school and had him in class and knew he was coming, but to do what he's been doing really is a testament to his work ethic. He's a leader. He has very big goals both on and off the track. He has a goal of the Air Force Academy post high school already. So he has very big vision for a young man, and that is carried over. His dad and I were talking after the meet last night, and several of the boys that he was racing against last night are kids that he raced against just this past fall in cross country that all beat Camden. And now he is handling them I'm not going to say easily, but quite handily. And it's, again, he had a great winter. He stayed in shape. He puts in a lot of miles, and Mother Nature kicked in and helped out, and he's really grown and kind of trimmed down and gotten very strong. In fact, another coach came over and said, I thought your kid was a freshman. And I said, he is. And he's like, that kid's a freshman? So he just doesn't look. He's tall, he's strong, and has run very, very well for us. We didn't run the times that we were hoping to. Everything that we were in our workouts that we were running was really pointing towards something 10:20 or faster, and around 10:35 in the mile. I'm sorry, 4:35 in the mile. But he's dealt with a little bit of a cold that's kind of settled in his chest. Those summer colds, as we all know, can be just kind of a booger. We're on the back side of it. He's feeling better, but then the heat and humidity just really crept up on us. So I think game plan just kind of changed all around, and we just did what we had to do to win the two races. And hopefully next week at State. It's you know, right now forecast is looking warm, but a little less humid, and boy, we're hoping to get in some good competition and rip off some good times.
Sounds great. Dan Newkirk, congratulations on the banner day yesterday at the track and field sectional in Gillespie. 5 sectional champions for Litchfield, the most of any school. Dan Newkirk, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir.
Okay, thank you. And hey, just one last thing. Cam Crow, too, just had a ran his fastest times, the fastest 400 we've had and probably close to 20 years here at Litchfield. And he is really poised to have a great state meet. We're real excited about his chances next week.
Good stuff. We look forward to watching it. We need a break here. We are at the Chili Dome. Yep, thank you, Dan. We're at the Chili Dome here in Irish Days. We will take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment when Sports Saturday rolls on.
And back we go to the Sports Saturday show from the Chili Dome at Irish Days. Once again, we join Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
All right, Randall, thank you very much. And yesterday in the 2A Baseball Sectional Championship, Sacred Heart Griffin beat North Mac by the final of 10-0. As North Mac was as good as you're going to see a small public high school be. They were just loaded top to bottom. And unfortunately for North Mac, they ran into a 3A team in the 2A sectional. And when you think about SHG here, they shouldn't have been there. They had no business in 2A. They played Pena, the South Central champions, in the sectional semifinal. Played North Mac, the Sangamo Conference champions, in the sectional final, won a combined 20-0, giving up 2 hits. And when you look down to 3A, you see Springfield High playing Glenwood in that sectional championship. That's where SHG should have been. And when you think about the ludicrousy of having a school like Griffin in Class 2A, it makes no sense. They have won a 3A baseball regional, 3 of the last 4 years. They were at the 3A state tournament back in 2014. And yesterday, I asked, when I was talking to Griffin's coach, Nicholas Nemovich, before the ball game, I said, why are you guys in 2A?
Yeah.
And you could tell on he had a look in his face like, I wondered the same thing myself. Yeah. Like, I'm not really sure why we are. But the explanation he gave me was, since they hadn't been to the state tournament in like 6 years, the multiplier goes away.
Yeah.
The way that this is done with the multiplier and the classifications, it is so skewed towards the private school. Like, never would you say, like, take Litchfield, for example. Litchfield has been struggling across the sports spectrum. They don't get to go down to 1A.
Right.
Because that would just be ridiculous to make such a suggestion.
Well, we can't go and play junior high basketball.
You don't get to do that, do you? No. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. And I know I want to make very clear, I am not anti-private school, okay? Private schools are fine. They have a great educational environment. And if you, as a parent, if you want to send your kid and pay to go to a private school, more power to you.
Right.
That's great. My issue is with the athletic front. There is no way that a school like SHG, who hand picks every single athlete that they have, that they should be competing with small public high schools.
And as you said off the air, there's kind of a difference between what goes on with the Jacksonville Routes of the world, the Alton Marquettes, I guess you could even say the Metro East Lutherans, compared to a Sacred Heart Griffin that's up in Springfield or a Quincy Notre Dame. Amazing. I mean, we haven't talked enough about the job North Mac did to get to the sectional championship in beating QND.
Well, no, that's exactly right. And Matt, you made an interesting, you know, tongue-in-cheek, obviously you don't get to go down and play junior high. But think about that, though. What satisfaction would your high school boys get from beating a really good eighth grade team?
Yeah, right.
None.
Right.
And so, like, if you're Griffin, what satisfaction do you really get from beating Pena and beating North Mac when you sit there and you watch Springfield and Glenwood play in the 3A title game?
I think something that, I don't know, made it an impact in me seeing it recently was when SHG and Normal U was in a sectional up in Beardstown against Pleasant Plains and my good buddy Kyle Weber and Porta, and you know, SHG came away with that and they went to the state championship, and then obviously COVID kicked in. You know, I had to hear a little bit from it from some of those guys up there, and you know, in our couple, you know, in my 10 years, I think we've been knocked out of postseason 4 or 5 times by those schools. I know Lutheran got us and Calvary and Metro East Lutheran before. So out of the majority of our losses in postseason, we've lost to those schools.
And, Matt, it leaves a different type of taste in your mouth, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But then again, you know, we got to go out there and play our best game. And at the end of the night, if the scoreboard says it's the other team, then it's the other team that night.
And
but I think the biggest thing recently here, you know, dealing with it every year is, you know, how many people text or call me or see me in public and ask, hey, you know, how are we going to look in the conference this year? Well, you know, Calvary and Lutheran's in our conference, but we don't know who's going to return every year, seems like. You know, I know some of the other schools are going to have those same names. So I would say the unknown is the biggest factor we deal with.
And what's the solution? I don't know. If I know what I would like to see happen, I would like to see every private school be forced to play, at least in this big school division, right? So even if you're Jacksonville route, I know they're not the same as SHG. But in a four-class system, you should be 3A.
Yeah.
You know, and for these private schools in football, when it's an A-class system, you should be minimum 5A. That is just how I see it. There's going to be no momentum for that. There's less momentum for having a public school division and a private school division. That's never going to happen. And I remember when Morty Hickman was the president of the IHSA, Terry Tilt used to always say, it is great to have a small-town public school guy at the head of the IHSA. And right now, when you look at just kind of the overall landscape, there is a lot of people in positions of power who are tied into private schools. And
right.
So the power structure in the IHSA is skewed towards these private schools. And I just cannot comprehend how SHG can be 2A in basketball, be 2A in baseball. And you can petition to play up now. I remember the first year that they went to the four-class system, Peoria Manual was in 2A. And they got to the 2A state tournament, and Terry and I were up there that year. They weren't happy about it. They weren't happy. They're like, we don't belong here. We don't want to be here with these little guys. We play with the big dogs. So you know what they did the next year? Petition to play in 3A. And that's where they've been. So, like, and again, I don't want this to come off as, like, I have an issue with the athletes at SHG. I do not.
I understand. You have a sports show. You have to,
right.
You have to be a...
they play who they're told to play. But if they win the 2A state title, which they probably will, and one of their Central State 8 foes wins the 3A title, how are they going to feel?
Right.
You know, you're state champions. Absolutely.
One thing that I'd noticed, I guess it was 2 years ago, Breeze Central and Breeze Modern Day are playing in Gillespie's gym.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't get over it. You know, they were trying to see if they could get those people in that gym and in the pit. And I know they had attendance issues that year.
Right. That's exactly right. And I've seen it too many times where when you're a small public school, when you get an elite team that is state tournament good, that is once really in a generation type of stuff. You think about the Carlinville football team from 2016.
2009, our baseball team won the state championship.
There you go. Exactly right. And when you think about that Carlinville team in 16, they played Elmhurst IC Catholic in the championship game. They played a 5A, 6A schedule all year long, and they're in the 3A playoffs, and of course they smoke Carlinville. You think about this North Mac baseball team yesterday. There's not a 2A public school team better than them. There just isn't. They're as good, or were as good, as you could have for a small public high school. And the fact that they don't even get the chance to go to state. At least Carlinville got to the state championship game in football in 16 and ran in to IC Catholic. But for North Mac, they don't even get the opportunity to go to state.
Yeah.
And they were that good.
Yeah. Well, you also see with small schools, you know, down around our WSMI coverage area, you know, if you win a regional, that is almost a state championship for some of us. And, you know, and whether you're 1A or 2A. So I know North Mac is probably disappointed this morning for sure, but they'll look back on this season and they'll be very happy.
Oh, they will. Yeah. And somewhere along the line, it's very strange to me, where the classification for private schools, they base it on making the state tournament.
Yeah.
It's hard to make the state tournament.
Absolutely.
Like, if not making the state tournament every 5 years is enough to get you bumped down a class, we wouldn't have any 1A teams.
It's true.
Like, to your point, and it was the perfect point to make, winning a regional is a big deal. So the fact that private schools are being judged on state tournament appearances and getting to go down a class based on that, it's dumb.
Right.
It's just stupid. It makes no sense. And something needs to change. Now, it won't change.
No.
Not one thing will ever change with this because the money is with the private schools. And as Uncle Ralph always said, M-O-N-E-Y.
Yeah.
You know, it was true 20 years ago. It's true today. It'll be true 10 years from now. Money talks, and nothing, as I can see, is going to be brought to the forefront that changes that.
No. No, you're right. It's a system, a fractured system, I guess you could say, and it's not. There's no cure for it right now.
No, it's a darn shame. But congratulations to North Mac on a great, great season as it took a 3A team to knock them out yesterday. Hey, get yourself out to Irish Days. Come out to the Chili Dome. Enjoy the aromas. Eat yourself some chili and maybe have a cold frosty one or a margarita. Matt Milberg, thank you so much, sir.
Hey, thanks for your guys' time and everything you do for high school athletics. You know, the tradition continues with you guys as well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we're blessed to have you.
We appreciate that very much. Thanks to Brad Whelan and Sean Webb for stopping by this morning as well, along with Justin Milberg, Matt Milberg, and Dan Newkirk. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.